And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered to be as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Great if you keep the Bibles open to that passage, because I'm going to refer to it a lot, because it's worth referring to a lot. I feel a little bit like a New Zealander this morning, because we normally go to church at the West Linfield campus, and so I feel like I've come across the ditch from West Linfield to West Pymble. So I hope my accents you can understand as we work our way through this passage. Let me pray first. As we look, it's such a wonderful passage to share on. Father, thank you for the chance to be together this morning. And as we read this climax of this chapter here in chapter 8, may it be a word of encouragement to us in the circumstances that each of us find ourselves. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, I want to take you on a journey. It's a short journey, and we're actually going to climb a staircase. From this passage, and as we get to the top of the staircase, it's going to give us a wonderful insight into where we are in our lives. But the way it's structured is it's structured around five questions. There are five questions in that passage that was just read for us, and we're going to go up each of these stairs one at a time until we get to the top stair, the balcony, if you like, or the landing. And then we're going to look around at what's going on in our world, in our house, if you like. But the way I'm thinking of this, this chapter is about a house. And it's not always a well-built house, a happy house. But we're going to get a perspective on this house. It's a broken down house. Our lives are broken in a range of different ways. And so this chapter, as we've been looking at it just leading up to Easter and now just jumping in again on it today, this chapter describes a lot of experiences in life that are not happy. But there are lots of good things that go on in life as well. So there is the beauty of nature. I've loved watching some of those photos coming from Artemis 2 during the week. That one where, I don't know if you saw it, where they're looking across from behind the moon, over the moon to planet Earth floating there in the dark. And you just think, how impressive is God's creation? And how blown away were they when they saw it, seeing that? So it's a good world in lots of different ways. In nature it is good. There is friendship. There's companionship that we enjoy. There's the joys of food and drink and sport and music. There's love and marriage and families and grandkids and kids. There's lots of good things. But our world is still fractured and it is broken in lots of ways. While those astronauts were looking over the moon at the Earth, this beautiful Earth, there were people firing missiles and drones at one another at that very same moment that they're out there in space. It's not all good. It's not all good. There is trouble in our world. There is hatred. There is violence. There is death. There is destruction. There are broken relationships. The world is broken in lots of different ways. In creation, it's broken. Even in our own personal lives, there is brokenness. There is sadness. There is estrangement. There is grief. There's all sorts of things. And that is the background to where this chapter goes in its conclusion. Because when you look through this whole chapter, especially the second half, you see some references to the way the world is today. So, for example, in verse 18, I consider our present sufferings. There's suffering in the world. In verse 20, our creation is in bondage to decay. I go and see my physio every so often. You know, this is sore or that's not working. And I say, look, my body's is breaking down. He says, oh, no, we'll sort you out. We'll sort you out. But I know he'll help, but I know it's still breaking down, right? That's the world we live in, right? It's a broken creation. The creation groans, it says there in verse 20. There's fires, there's floods, there's cyclones, there's tsunamis, there's all sorts of things. Verse 23, it's not just creation, but we too are it groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, looking for something better that's going to come. And then verse 35 in the passage today, trouble, there's hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword. You see, the house that you and I live in is broken. It's a broken down house. There is trouble. And it's important to acknowledge this because sometimes there are some people who indicate that if you're a Christian, there's less of this. It's a lie. There's not less. Christians experience all the same difficulties as anybody else in the world. You read through the Bible, you see it again and again in the lives of the writers of the Bible. You see it in the Lord Jesus himself, in what he experienced. There is trouble in the world. The world is broken and we are broken. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean it happens less. What we do have, however, is a perspective. A perspective that helps us in the broken down house. And that's where this chapter moves in this last section. It moves to these five questions or five steps, if you like. And as we ascend these steps, it doesn't change our circumstances, but it changes our perception of our circumstances, our understanding of our circumstances, and what is true in the midst of living in a broken down house. So I want to look at the five steps with you, a five-point sermon. Step number one, and it comes in verse 31. Who can be against us? In this broken down house, this broken down world in which we live, who can be against us? Verse 31. What shall we say in response to this? That is, in response to the brokenness of our world, but God's good promise in verse 28, we know in all things God works together for good for those who love him. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? In the brokenness of our world, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the implied answer is no one. No one. Now you think, well, at one level, there's lots of things in this broken world that are against us. There's all sorts of challenges in the world. So what can be against us? The answer is nothing will prevail against us. Nothing will prevail against us. Why? Because we belong to him. Because we belong to And so verse 30, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God is for us. He has graciously called us, predestined us, justified us, will glorify us. He is on our side. That's the first step in the broken down house. The first step is to recognize that God is for us. Whatever else is true in our lives, whatever the messes we encounter, and we all encounter different aspects of mess, whatever that is, God is for us. The second step, the second question, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Will he give us all things? And the implied answer is yes. He will give us all things. Will he not give us all things? Yes, all things. Everything we need to endure life in a broken down house. Not taking us out of the house, but equipping us to endure whatever our experiences are in the broken down house. He will hold on to us until the end. It doesn't mean that there won't be trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, but he will see us through those experiences, as hard as they are. How do we know this? It's in the verse. Because he did not spare his own son. Jesus died for you and for me. And that is the basis of our understanding that he is for us. He will help us. If he didn't spare his own son, do you think he's not going to help you in your situation? Yes, he will help. Having done that, having sent his own son to die on the cross, he is not going to stop now. He will give us everything that we need for the hardships that we experience. God gives us all things that we need. Third step. So one step, two step, step number three. Who will bring any charge against us? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So who can bring any charge against you or me? And the implied answer is no one. No one can bring a charge against us. Then you think, well, at some level, my own conscience accuses me of my sinful heart. I know my heart. Carol knows my heart. People close to me know my heart. They could all condemn me at one level. People who know us know our failings. Because remember back in Romans chapter 7, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? That's true of all of us. At one level, we all can be condemned. So why are we not condemned? It's because we are God's chosen people and he will not let us go. Furthermore, he is our judge and he justifies us. See right in the second part of verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? The answer is no one, because it is God who justifies. That's why we said that confession just a few moments ago. And we are forgiven. We are justified by God. So nobody can condemn us. Do we struggle with our own sinful disposition? Romans chapter 7, yes. But we are not going to be condemned because of Jesus. Because it is God who justifies. God justifies us. The fourth step, as we go up the staircase in our broken down house, the fourth step. Then who is it that condemns us? Verse 34, Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who condemns us? No one. No one condemns us. Why? Because Jesus has died for us. Jesus has risen from the dead, and Jesus right now is at God's right hand interceding for us, bringing our needs and requests to the Father to help us in our time of need. And that is why no one will condemn us. Why? Because God is on our side. God is for us. He is not harsh. He is not distant. He is not questioning. He actually intercedes for us in Jesus. God is on our side. Whatever the brokenness of our houses are, he is on our side. And then lastly, the fifth step. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is the top step. This is the balcony. This is where we get the vista that gives us context in the broken down house that we live in. Verse 35. The last question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And this time he gives us a nice long answer. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And the implication is we experience in different ways and contexts all of these sorts of things, right? It's broken. The world is broken. But will those things separate us? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That was the psalmist's experience in his broken down house. And the answer for us, no, verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Any of these things, any of these hardships, any of these troubles, any of these griefs, can they separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? The answer is no. Those who have been predestined, called, justified, glorified are safe. You and I are safe in the broken down house in which we live. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, we are safe. We will conquer. It doesn't mean it won't be hard, harsh even. It doesn't mean there won't be tears or sadness or grief. All those things are true and will be true in different ways for all of us. But this top step, the balcony in the broken down house, as we look at the trouble, it reminds us that even still, God loves us. We may go through things like the psalmist in verse 36, facing death all day long, considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But will this separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 37, no. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because of his love, we will conquer these challenges. We're not pretending it's easy because we all know it's not. But victory is assured. I grew up, when I had red hair, loving to read John Stott. He was very formative in my Christian growth. And I read his commentary on this passage. And it's worth reading. I think it's in the which commentary? Bible Speaks Today series. If you want to go further and deeper into Romans, just read one paragraph from him on this passage. He writes, we urgently need these assurances today since nothing seems stable in the world any longer. He wrote this 40 years ago. I think it looks a lot worse now. It feels bad at the moment. So nothing seems stable in the world any longer. Insecurity is written across all human experience. Christian people are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, tribulation, or tragedy, but we are promised victory over them. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but it will never separate us from his love. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but it will never separate us from his love. So, as I wrap up, I'm not sure how you view your life at the moment, how you view your house. I suspect all of us recognize everything is not good. To varying degrees, bad, hard, harsh. And this passage reminds us that our house has been battered over time, that the roof is leaking. It reminds us of the wind, that when the wind comes, the window panes rattle. When those planes come low, it rattles. We hear those awful crunching sounds in the walls, the scurrying in our ceilings. The house is not great. But what this passage reminds us of is in our broken down house that is marked by trouble, suffering, groaning, hardship, and the list goes on. As we climb those five steps, we get a new perspective. It doesn't change the house we live in now, but it does give us perspective. And what is that perspective? God is for you. God will give you everything that you need. God has justified you. God is for you, on your side, in Jesus, interceding for you in the presence of God right now, at this very moment, and that God loves you, and that you will conquer. You will conquer through him. A day will come when victory is assured. It was alluded to earlier in the chapter, in verse 18, where he talks about the glory that is coming. The day is going to come when God will renovate the house. He will renew the house, and it will be a beautiful house. Fresh carpets, freshly painted, non-leaking roofs, non-rattling windows, no crunching in the walls, no scurrying in the ceiling. A new house will be our house, and it will be a house for eternity. The glory is coming. And in the meantime, while we live in this house, anything separate us from the love of Christ? No. All these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.